ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narad, text number 32. Tasyaivam khilam atmanam manyamanasya khidyataha Krishnasya narado abhyagad ashramam prag udahitam Tasyaivam khilam atmanam manyamanasya khidyataha Krishnasya narado abhyagat ashramam pragudahritam Tasyaivam khilam atmanam manyamanasya khidyataha Krishnasya narado abhyagat Ashramam pragudahitam Tasya His Evam Das Khilam Inferior Atmanam Soul Manyamanasya Thinking within the mind Khidyataha Regretting Krishnasya Of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas Narada Abhyagat Narada came there. Ashramam, the cottage. Prak, before. Udahritam, said. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas on the banks of the Saraswati just as Vyasadev was regretting his defects. Purport. The vacuum felt by Vyasadev was not due to his lack of knowledge. Bhagavad Dharma is purely devotional service of the Lord to which the monist has no access. The monist is not counted amongst the Paramahamsas, the most perfect of the renounced order of life. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Although Vyasadeva was an empowered divinity, he still felt dissatisfaction because in none of his works were the transcendental activities of the Lord properly explained. The inspiration was infused by Sri Krishna directly in the heart of Vyasadeva, and thus he felt the vacuum as explained above. It is definitely expressed herewith that without the transcendental loving service of the Lord, everything is void. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, everything is tangible without any separate attempt at fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunulvidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this chapter entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada. So in the previous few verses we have been hearing about Vyasadeva's thoughts. So he's been his thoughts are being mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he's feeling dissatisfaction after compiling the entire Vedic literature. So originally the Vedas come from the breathing of Mahavishnu, and in the previous yugas, the Vedas were they were not written down. People could actually, they were transmitted orally, and because people's memory was so sharp, they were able to memorize the entire Vedas. So, like when the students would hear from the guru, and upon the knowledge being recited, they were able to remember it. And the example is of even Suta Goswami. He was in the assembly when Shukdev Goswami was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, and he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 18,000 verses, and he was able to memorize it by heart. So Vyasadeva, because of his dint of his spiritual vision, he could foresee the future, just like an astrologer can foresee the future depending on one's birth time and place, etc. So because of his spiritual vision, he was able to foresee into Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, one of the symptoms is that the memory goes down day by day. So people's memory, lifespan, strength, mercy, tolerance, all these godly qualities are actually diminishing day by day by the increase of Kali Yuga. So by the passing of every day of Kali Yuga, these qualities are reducing, and memory is one of them. So he could foresee the future, and therefore he decided to put the Vedas into writing for the benefit of mankind, and also so that they are able to perform their prescribed duties. So as we heard yesterday, Yadushesha Prabhu very nicely described that Vyasadeva, he compiled the Vedic literature, and the Vedas contain the very word Veda means knowledge. So Vedas contain both spiritual and material knowledge. So the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to extract the living entity from its material entanglement. And so the living entity goes back to Godhead in its original constitutional position. So, but even at the same time, the Vedas also deal with our material situation. So therefore, the Vedas has all branches of knowledge in it. So from astronomy to astrology, medicine, Ayurveda, there's Dhanurveda, military, architecture, any department of knowledge, you name it, it's in the Vedas. But at the same time, the Vedic literature also gives the process how to come out of the material world, how to achieve liberation. So therefore we have the Upanishads. But in spite of doing all this, Vyasadeva, though he's the incarnation of God, his incarnation of Krishna, he was still feeling dissatisfied. So as it's mentioned in the purport, the vacuum filled by Vyasadeva was not due to his lack of knowledge. So it's not that because he did not have Krishna conscious knowledge, he did not have real knowledge, therefore he was feeling the vacuum. Actually he knew everything. He actually had transcendental knowledge, but still he was feeling the vacuum or dissatisfaction because he did not give enough emphasis to bhakti knowledge in his compilations. Therefore he was feeling this vacuum in his heart. So though he is the incarnation of Godhead, still he was feeling this vacuum and lack of satisfaction because of not glorifying Krishna. So the constitutional position of the jiva is actually to glorify Krishna. So therefore bhakti has 9 angas, 9 limbs, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam, so Pada Sevanam, and like that. So hearing, chanting, remembering, glorifying, offering prayers, rendering service to the Lord, making friendship, and surrendering everything. In this way there are 9 limbs of bhakti, and when we engage in any of these 9 limbs or 9 items, or even in one of them, we can achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness. So because he did not give enough stress to glorifying Krishna, therefore he was feeling this vacuum, even though he put everything else there for the welfare of mankind. So though he is the incarnation of God, still he was feeling that dissatisfaction. And as yesterday Yadushesha Prabhu was mentioning, even in as devotees, if we don't give emphasis to hearing and chanting in our day or in our service, then we will also feel this vacuum. And sometimes if we don't read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, or even if one day we haven't read Srila Prabhupada's book, sometimes we feel this, you know, something is different. We feel this vacuum. We're not feeling very satisfied. So that is because that's the nature of the soul, to always hear about Krishna and to glorify about Krishna. So anything which is devoid of that, it will lead to dissatisfaction. So though Vyasadeva had transcendental knowledge, But because he did not stress emphasis on it, he was feeling that dissatisfaction. And what to speak of mundane knowledge, which people are putting forward. Forth. There is no question of satisfaction. Because that knowledge which we come across in this world through the educational systems or through the mass media, it is all in the modes of passion and ignorance. It's not even knowledge in the mode of goodness. Because knowledge in the mode of goodness, it at least recognizes that there is consciousness beyond matter. That consciousness is actually moving matter. That there is the spirit soul within the body. Though it is impersonal knowledge. But knowledge in the modes of passion and ignorance, knowledge in the mode of passion is simply speculation and coming up with various theories about existence. So, example could be that consciousness, that matter is consciousness. In other words, the body is conscious. And when the body dies, everything is finished. So in this way, there are different kinds of speculations in the mode of passion. And then in the mode of ignorance, because we are born into the mode of ignorance, therefore, because there's no attempt made to come out of the mode of ignorance, any knowledge put forward naturally has to be in the mode of ignorance. So in our educational systems, the knowledge being propagated is simply in the mode of ignorance, because knowledge in the mode of ignorance only relates to matter. So knowledge which we come across in school and universities, it's all about basically eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's what it's centered about. And it's centered around economic development. So even we see the universities, all research, end of the day it's all about money. There's nothing spiritual in it. Though there might be faculties, even in universities, sometimes there are faculties of spirituality, like in RMIT there's the spiritual center. But it's just all a guise. There's nothing spiritual in it. It's all again dealing with matter. So in this way, therefore it's mentioned here that the monist is not counted amongst the Paramahamsas. And the monist has no action, no access to Bhagavad Dharma, which is pure devotional service. So if we want satisfaction, we simply have to hear and chant about Krishna. It's that simple. So Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and it's complicated for the complicated. So if we want to make life complicated, you know, we can do so many things even in the realm of Krishna consciousness. But if we really try to make it simple, all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and read Srila Prabhupada's books. And then what we read, we need to speak it out. So speaking doesn't mean just, you know, giving a lecture or sitting on the Vyasasan. Speaking means whoever we meet, we can inspire them in Krishna consciousness by giving them some transcendental knowledge. So whether we are distributing books on the street or even whether we are sitting with devotees, we can still speak Krishna Katha. Or whether you're giving a lecture. Or even our life should be a living example. So people should get inspired by our actions. So in this way we can try to inspire others in Krishna consciousness. So as mentioned, the monist has no access to pure devotional service. So why is that? Because the monist, they cannot. Monism is actually very prevalent all over the world. So that's the disease of the conditioned soul. So monism basically means that they cannot differentiate between the different energies. They cannot differentiate between matter and spirit. And they say that everything is one. That's a monist. So because they cannot differentiate between matter and spirit, there is no question of devotional service. Because in devotional service, we recognize that we are the minute spirit soul and Krishna is the supreme spirit soul. And we are actually part and parcel of Krishna. And we are actually entangled in the material energy. We are caught up by matter. And that we have to transcend the modes of nature and render pure devotional service. So a monist basically has no access to devotional service because they cannot even differentiate between the different energies. And they cannot understand the position of God or the position of Krishna. And in fact, sometimes they think they are Krishna. Like I met one person yesterday on Sankirtan, and he was saying, you know, I'm already God. You don't need to give me a book to tell me that I'm God. Because I am God. And before I could say something, he just walked away. So people are actually very proud. So such a person actually has no access to devotional service, because he cannot differentiate, and he's thinking, or some people think, one person was saying that, you know, there's a little bit of God in all of us, and when we get liberation, then we merge together and then we become God. So in this way, people come up with different speculations and theories. And at the root of it, it's all impersonalism and voidism. So as it's stated in Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, Nirvisheshak Shunyavadi, that Srila Prabhupada came to the West to dispel this impersonalism and voidness. So because the living entity, because of envy of Krishna, comes to the material world and therefore identifies with matter and is covered by the modes of nature and thinks itself to be a product of matter. And the conditioned living entity is naturally very averse to Krishna and is also averse to Krishna's instructions. So, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, what's that verse? That desire and hate. What's that verse? Icchā dvesha sammuthena. So, the conditioned living entity is affected by desire and hate. So, the conditioned living entity desires Krishna's opulences, but it hates Krishna and Krishna's instructions. And we can see this very practically. If you are standing on the street, people are actually averse to Krishna's instructions. Hardly anyone is interested in genuine knowledge. People take religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion because of the mode of ignorance. So they are naturally very averse to genuine spiritual knowledge. And they're also averse to Krishna. If you say Krishna is God, you can see people actually get envious. And this envy might also be within us, even as devotees. So, even to the degree we are not inclined to study Srila Prabhupada's books or to glorify Krishna, that's because, deep down, is because of envy. So, but the glorious thing is we are in the process of devotional service and we are trying to rectify ourselves. So if we simply stick to the path of Krishna consciousness, it's like being thrown in a washing machine. And then washing machine goes through its cycle and then we are all the conditioned souls, we are rubbed together and we come out clean and shiny. So if we somehow stick to the process of Krishna consciousness, though it can be very difficult at times, we are tested at times, but we will come out as a shining stone and being cleansed of the three modes of nature. So, and the conditioned living entity thinks, and it's mentioned here that the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental narrations, and Krishna is also beyond the three modes of nature, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. But the conditioned living entity thinks that they are beyond the three modes of nature. Being beyond the three modes of nature means to be free from the control of material nature, to be fully independent. But Krishna's position is Swarat and Abhigya, that Krishna is full of knowledge and Krishna is fully independent, as is mentioned in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadiyasya Atayo Itaratas. And then it mentions that Krishna is fully independent and full of knowledge. Krishna knows past, present and future. But being deluded by the three modes of nature, because of the covering of illusion, we are actually thinking that we are full of knowledge and we are fully independent. This is the amazing thing, that the conditioned living entity is thinking that they are independent. Of course, being independent means they're thinking they're above the three modes of nature. But because of the dense covering of illusion, they are unable to perceive that they are being bound by the laws of nature. So they are being bound by the laws of state, and also they are being bound by the laws of nature. So, but when we converse with people, they say they are fully independent, but they are unable to see that they are actually bound up in every respect. Their body is aging, getting diseased, and they cannot see these things because, again, of the covering of material nature. So when we are covered over by lust, material desires, we are unable to contemplate what's actually going on around us. We are unable to perceive what's going on around us. So Krishna is called Nirguna, which means he's beyond material qualities. Krishna has transcendental qualities. And it's mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. So there are 18 Puranas, and the Puranas are classified according to the modes of nature. And then Bhagavat Purana is actually transcendental. And every Purana there's a minor Purana and then there's a major Purana. So a Mahapurana has 10 subjects in it. And different Puranas have different subjects. But because Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana, it deals with 10 subjects. So they are Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utaya Manvantaresha Anukatha Nirodho Muktir Ashraya Dashamasya Vishuddhi Artham Navanam Iha Lakshanam Varnayati Mahatmana Shrutenena Artha Chanagasya. Sorry for the Sanskrit. So Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 subjects. And all of Krishna's activities are actually transcendental activities. So whether we take, the first one is creation of the ingredients of the material manifestation. So whatever Krishna is doing, it's actually a transcendental activity. So the Mahavishnu, he manifests the ingredients for the creation of the material cosmos. So again, it's a transcendental activity. Then we see how Brahma takes birth from the navel of Lord Vishnu. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, he is in charge of the maintenance of the universe. So in this way there are 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and whatever Krishna does is actually transcendental to the modes of nature. And if we also render devotional service, we also have a chance of becoming transcendental to the modes of nature. And another interesting point in this verse is that it's mentioned that Narad Muni reached a cottage of Krishna Dvaipana Vyas on the banks of the Saraswati River just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the inspiration was infused by Sri Krishna directly in the heart of Vyasadeva, and thus he felt the vacuum as explained above. So that it's interesting to see the workings of the super soul in the heart of every living entity. In a purport in the Bhagavad Gita, I think text number 23 of the 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the super soul is always trying to convince the living entity that his or her activities will lead to material unhappiness. So, you know, people say there's a voice within. You know, I heard the voice within. So the voice within is actually, as Prabhupada mentions in that purport to 13.23, that the voice within is the super soul telling the living entity that your activities are not going to lead to material happiness. So just give them up and turn your faith towards me. So this is what the super soul is saying. This is the voice within. So anything else what people speculate is actually not the voice within. So Krishna is actually the friend of all living entities. So, because Krishna is the friend of all living entities, Krishna is seated within the heart of every living entity, in any species of life, whether it is a very abominable species also. whether it's the cockroach in the gutter or the worm in stew. So, but Krishna is actually trying, especially in the human form of life, to convince the jiva that his activities are leading to failure. So sometimes, and sometimes people actually can see that their activities are not leading them anywhere. They should turn towards God. You might come across people sometimes like that. They say, oh, you know, you have given me the book at the right time. This is what I'm looking for. I've reached that point in my life. So it's that sometimes the super soul dictating to them. So once they begin to look for God, then Krishna sends the Guru. Or Krishna sends the genuine spiritual knowledge. And here in Vyasadeva's case we can see, because he was regretting his defects, and he knew because he didn't glorify Krishna sufficiently, he himself knew that was the root cause of his despondency. And at the same time Narad Muni came at the right moment. And then we'll read in the coming verses in the next chapter that Narad Muni chastises Vyasadeva, and he actually tells him that, yes, you haven't actually given enough emphasis to Krishna and the process of devotional service. So it's interesting that even when living entities get frustrated in their attempts for material happiness, and when they seek for genuine knowledge, then Krishna does provide that. So, and in this case, Krishna sent his devotee Narad Muni. So very rarely Krishna will come himself, you know, and speak to you the Bhagavad Gita or give you a book or, you know, just enlighten you. That's very rare. But generally Krishna will send his representative. Krishna will send his devotee. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nimitta Matrina Bhavya Savya Sachin, that you tell Krishna, tells Arjuna, you simply become my instrument in fighting, in killing your opponents, because they're going to get killed anyway. So like that, it's Mahaprabhu's prediction that this Krishna consciousness movement is going to be spread all over the world, in every town and village. So it's already predicted, it's going to happen. Now the question is, do we want to become the instrument in the fulfillment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? So, but the thing is, Krishna wants to give the credit to us. Krishna is very merciful. So though we don't have any qualifications, but he wants to give the credit to us. So we just have to become the instrument, and in some way or the other, be connected to Srila Prabhupada's movement of spreading Krishna consciousness. Whether it is through book distribution or university preaching or prasadam distribution or Harinam Sankirtan or one of the many forms of giving Krishna out. So in this month of December, we can actually go out of a way. And even if we are not going out, we should be in this consciousness that we are. Like Srila Prabhupada gave this analogy, I think it's a very famous one. It's one of the excerpts in Srila Prabhupada's letters. He mentions that, like, you have the Indian railways. So the Indian railways has like the largest number of employees in the world, in terms of in the railway department. So because there's such a big population, everyone has to be engaged. So it's a good way of engaging people. So it has like a huge employee base, but not everyone is driving the train. You know, and Prabhupada said that there's so many employees, but the whole idea is that the wheels of the carriages should be moving. So the wheels should be rolling all the time. If the wheels of the carriages are not moving, that means the railways is not going anywhere, it's not transporting people, it's not serving its purpose. So Prabhupada's movement is like that. So the preaching has to go on, and everything should facilitate that. So we have to be in that consciousness all the time. So whether we are in the back or in the front, we always have to be in the consciousness that the wheels are rolling, that the books are going out, that the Brihad Mirdanga is beating. So if we are in that consciousness, then we are also preaching. So that consciousness is very vital. And Srila Prabhupada's books are very powerful because they are giving genuine spiritual knowledge. It's not some ho-hum, bogus literature, the millions of books which are sitting in the libraries and people are reading. So this is, when we give Srila Prabhupada's books, it is actually very special. Though not everyone can understand these books, because even those situated in the modes of passion cannot understand the knowledge in the mode of goodness, what to speak of Shuddha Sattva. So not though everyone can fully grasp it because of their lifestyle, but they can surely appreciate this knowledge. And though they might understand maybe bits and pieces of it, but even reading these books actually changes their karma in a big way. So though we might be doing books, we cannot see the results of what we are doing. We might not be getting, you know, scores, you know, big scores or, but simply if people touch these books, they read the back of the book or read a few words, or even they take it and they appreciate it and they appreciate the devotees, they are actually changing their karma. They're not realizing what they're doing, but they're accumulating Agyata Sukriti, and there's a major change in the karma. And so next time it will be easier for them to have access to this knowledge. And also, with another interesting thing about book distribution is that people have the opportunity to interact with devotees. So we simply don't have to be in this fruitive mentality of getting rid of a large number of books, but we should try to be in this consciousness that we have to try to see that actually people are suffering because of their material existence, and this is actually the best possible way to help them. There's so many kinds of welfare activities going in the world, philanthropy, altruism, social work. But we, in order to give this knowledge out, first we have to be convinced ourselves that this is the highest welfare work. If we have doubts about this, you know, people are not going to be convinced. Because when they look at us, they're actually seeing, are you convinced and are you living this lifestyle? And are you happy? Because we stop people, we tell them, gives you freedom from stress and anxiety, spiritual knowledge. And then they look at us. And they can actually see right through us. If we have any doubts about, if we are convinced about this, you can give it to others. So first, we ourselves have to be convinced about this knowledge, that this is the highest welfare activity for the entire mankind. So we'll only be convinced if we are reading the books ourselves. And if we are putting it into practice, not only reading the books. So therefore, for the book distributors, the sadhana is very, very important. So it's very important to rise early, take enough rest, chant 16 good rounds, preferably in one go, and then attend the full morning program, and have proper prasada. Don't overeat or don't undereat. Have the right amount. If you overeat, you'll feel tired. If you undereat, you'll be agitated. So eat the right amount and just go out and always be in this prayerful mood of engaging the conditioned souls in Krishna's service. So sometimes if we are struggling during the day, we maybe sit down for 5 minutes and read the books and try to be convinced that what we are actually doing. Because it's a very difficult service because we're dealing with a lot of rejection. 7 hours on the street and dealing with a lot of rejection. If you see maybe 5% acceptance, 95% is simply rejection. Very, you know, out of 30 people, one might stop out of 20, and then even then, one person might buy a book. It's a rare person who's going to buy it. So we're dealing with a lot of rejection. We don't have to get rejected by it. We have to keep the purpose in mind why we're doing it. So anyways, 2 minutes to 8. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mati. on why we can't distribute, because of why we can't glorify Krishna, because okay, it's one of the reasons here. So you want me to elaborate on why we can't glorify Krishna because of envy, basically? Yeah. It's quite simple, you know. If you are envious of someone, you don't like them, and therefore you don't want to speak about them. You don't want to hear about them. It's quite logical, isn't it? If you don't like someone, why will you speak about them? Why will you speak good about them? So, to the degree we have it, to the degree we can't preach Krishna consciousness effectively. So we have to strive to become pure by engaging in sadhana bhakti. Or we should even do the service out of duty, though we have these base qualities within us. But when we simply do it out of duty because it's the Guru's instruction, then we get purified. So in the sadhana bhakti stage, basically we render service out of duty, not out of love. We are not doing all these things out of love. At least me. I don't know about you. So, it is out of duty. We are doing it. Our authorities have told us, you know, do this, so we do it. Okay. It's anything else? Okay, it's 8 a.m., so we have to stop. Srila Prabhupada ki.